Tonight we're blessed to be here for the second of a three-night series concerning Israel. Last night our brother, Apostle Marvin Ely, brought to us God's promises to Israel, and tonight he's to bring to us the subject, the scattering of Israel. And I ask that you might give our brother your prayerful and careful attention. Brother Ely.
Thank you, Brother Brickhouse. As was mentioned by the one that introduced me, last night we spoke upon God's promises to Israel. And we know there are many. And I never ceased to be amazed at how great these promises were to a people. By the same token, he also said to them that they had to love him, they had to keep his commandments and follow him, and if they did not do this, then there were certain things that would happen to them. All the blessings that he had pronounced upon them would not be. And instead, there would be cursings. And so tonight, I want to take up some of the things relating to the scattering of Israel. And I would like to read as a verse from Jeremiah 15 and the 17th verse, only one verse. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. And so in two different instances, first, the commonly called 10 lost tribes, actually 2.5 remain, but then they call them 10 lost tribes, were carried away into captivity by the Assyrians, and their king was King Shalmaneser, about in the year of 721 or 2 B.C. And shortly after 600 B.C. in that area, King Nebuchadnezzar carried the southern kingdom away, Judah and the ones that comprised that kingdom. And I would like to address that this night. And I would like to turn to 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. And this is found in verses 11 and 12. And this just gives a background of what I want to speak upon and what happened to these people. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put him in Hala and in Habar by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. Because the reason this was done, why all that took place, the next verse plainly explains it. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. And they knew when they come out of Egypt what was expected of them. When they entered into the promised land, they knew what was expected of them. They were considered a holy people unto the Lord. But the Lord laid down guidelines that he wanted them to follow. And he said, if you will follow these, then you will have all these blessings to rest upon you. And I think of one of them that I talked about during the day and visiting with different ones. I think one of the most marvelous blessings that could have been theirs, he says, I would take away sickness from among you. And I can't even imagine a place that didn't have any sickness among the people. That was one of the blessings they could have had. Beside being blessed in their offspring and their crops and all that they set their hand to and being kept free from their enemies, no people ever had such a blessing pronounced upon them. And this all stemmed back, as I brought out last night, to the great blessing that was given unto Abraham because he believed God, a man of great faith, and did what the Lord told him to do. And so even today, a part of the covenant that came in through Abraham, we, even in this room, are enjoying a part of it. And it will unfold as the house of Israel begins again to believe in Christ and serve Him. I have another from 2 Kings in the 24th chapter. It's found in verses 14 and 15. And this comes down to the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor. Now I want you to notice what he particularly wanted. He wanted the mighty men of valor from Jerusalem. Even 10,000 captives. And then also he had, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. Look what he chose. All the qualified people, the craftsmen, the smiths. None remained in Jerusalem, and look what remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't want those. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. So I'm just laying down some of the groundwork tonight of what took place. And I would like to read now from 3 Nephi 4. It's found on page 629. And incidentally, I read this last night. At least referenced it. Didn't read it all, but I referenced it and read part of it. But I want to read it again tonight in verses 55 through 59. Because it is pertinent to the scattering of Israel and their gathering. And this came at a time when Jesus Christ was speaking unto the people who remained after this 3 days of darkness, and he was speaking, this is his voice, is what they heard. And the more righteous we know were all that were saved after his crucifixion and the destruction that took place upon the American continents, in which all the rocks were fractured and the land was totally changed. And it said in that the rocks that were once one solid mass now were in broken fragments and seams forever. And if we just travel a bit in different areas, we can see the literal fulfillment of what took place there. And so Jesus Christ was speaking to these people, and he said, how oft, in the middle of verse 55 toward the end, have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings and have nourished you? How often have I done this? Now he's talking to a people that were brought over here. At the time, King Nebuchadnezzar carried away most of Jerusalem into captivity. And Lehi, also a prophet of the Lord, warned Jerusalem that they wouldn't believe him either. They wouldn't believe the other prophets. And Lehi and his family were warned to come to the American continents. And they came here. And from time to time they strayed and went off on other courses. But he says, how often have I nourished you and gathered you? He did that for those people. And again, how oft would I have gathered you? As a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel who have fallen. He was willing to do it. Now, in all this, I find quite a significant fact. Even though he pronounced these marvelous blessings upon them, and that they failed to serve him, likewise these cursings would be upon them, yet in all this, he gave the house of Israel a way back. And that's the same for anyone who transgresses and follows other paths. There is a way back. And so he's telling them here that very fact. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Now he's broadening it out, not only to these continents, but to those who dwell at Jerusalem. As ye have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. He sent prophets to Jerusalem to preach to those people. They were serving Baal and they were transgressing and doing things that was contrary to the law of Moses, contrary to all that the Lord had demanded of them. They were not following them. But he sent prophets to try to reclaim them. He says, I've tried, but ye would not. And they did not at that time. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? If ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. See, the way is outlined. That is the way. That is the way for Israel today. But listen to this. But if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. So until that time, their dwelling would be desolate. The Lord really tried to gather this people in, and he is trying again. And it will be completed, but it will only be completed among those who repent and return unto the Lord. I would like to turn now to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. And this is found in verses 27 through 31. Now, we find in reading these different scriptures here that the Lord had told them what he would do for them, but that they refused to serve him. Then he says, this is what I will do to you. So I want to pick that thought up with verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, not the God of heaven, but you'll serve gods that are the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor eat, nor hear nor eat nor smell. So that's what's going to happen to you. But again, the Lord, now this might seem harsh. This is a prophecy of what will take place before it took place. It did take place. But again, look at the next verse. How the Lord is still trying to reach out to these people because of the promise he made to Abraham. Because you believe me, the house of Israel will be blessed and all the nations of the world will be blessed. What a terrific promise that is. But to avail ourselves of it, we got to reach out to God and his Son Jesus Christ and follow them. As Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That is the way. But he said, after you're scattered, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you do it, you're going to find him. He's still waiting. He's waiting for anyone that transgresses. We seek him, we can find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart, that is the way, and with all thy soul, it has to be with real intent. And as we read in the Book of Mormon, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit is one that is humble of mind. That's the type of people we must be. And then it says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these trials are coming upon you, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. Now that's pinpointing a time we all understand and have heard about. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. And he has to be. When we look at creation and what they do, he has to be a merciful God. He will not forsake thee. See, the promise is still there. Neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. The Lord will not forget that covenant that was made to Abraham and to his seed many years ago. It will take place, and it will happen. I'd like to turn over to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And this is found in verses 64 through 67. Now, some of this I touched upon a bit last evening, but I want to touch upon it again, because the first part of this 28th chapter gives all the marvelous blessings that can be Israel's if they serve God, if they follow Him and keep His commandments. And the last part, as it said over here in the, I'll just pick that one up, in verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed in the store, in the basket, in their offspring, their rain would even be turned to powder and dust." Let's read from verse 64. "If you don't do this, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods." And that's exactly what I read about. Those that don't see or hear or smell, the gods of wood and stone that are absolutely nothing, they served. They served the gods of the heathens that they didn't even formally know, even though they served Baal previous to this. "And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, because of this transgression and transgressing a God who cared for them. Even wood and stone, those are the gods they would serve. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord will give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind." And I think this is really sad. What happened to these people? "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none other assurance of thy life." And I think of the terrible things that happened to the Jewish people in World War II and the millions that were killed. That was sad. But a lot of this was already prophesied. You'll have no ease. "In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. I just wished it was done." That's kind of sad. But yet in all this, God and Jesus Christ are reaching out to these people. If you will hear me and come to me with real intent, with your whole soul, they will be received. I'd like to turn to 1 Nephi 7. It's found on page 73. Starting with verse 6 through 12. And I'll read more in here a bit later. I find this seventh chapter of 1 Nephi is a marvelous one concerning the house of Israel. It's very interesting. There isn't time tonight to present it all. I'll present portions of it. Verse 6, "For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth, and also among all nations will they be scattered. And behold, there are many who are already lost from the knowledge of those who are at Jerusalem." So many had already left. We know the story. King Shalmaneser had already carried away many, and they didn't even know where they had gone. "Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away." It's already happened. "And they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whither they are, none of us knoweth, save that we know that they have been led away." And this was another people upon another continent. And they were led here for a wise purpose by the hand of the Lord. different than some of the others went away, evidently. And since they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all those who shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded, because of the Holy One of Israel, which is none other than Jesus Christ, for against him will they harden their hearts. And that is why all this happened to them. They hardened their hearts against Jesus Christ. And we have all this written, that we might not fall into a similar manner of lifestyle. It is there for our benefit. Now, I'm not just reading what happened to a previous people. I want us all to note what is our responsibility tonight as well to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated of all men. Now, God was not pleased with what they did. They were a holy people unto Him, a special people, and He was not pleased when they digressed and followed other gods. Indeed, that was contrary to the gospel that He had set down for them to follow. In 1 Nephi 5, and this is found on page 66, verses 251 through 257, and as for those who are at Jerusalem, saith the prophet. Now I want you to notice this. These are the words that were being referenced of the prophet Zenos. He spoke of these things. And there were two other prophets. Their name was Zenoch and Nahum. All prophets that we find, if we had the plates of brass, the original record, they're recorded therein. And oft times the Nephites here had the plates of brass. So oft times they referenced these prophets. And Zenos knew of this long time before it took place. And that's why I wanted to make that point. And this is that prophet. And he said here, and as for those who are at Jerusalem, saith the prophet, they shall be scourged by all people, because they crucify the God of Israel, and turn their hearts aside, rejecting signs and wonders and power and the glory of the God of Israel. They did that, rejecting all that. And because they turned their hearts aside, saith the prophet, and have despised the Holy One of Israel, which is Jesus, they shall wander in the flesh. This is what's going to happen. Now, Zenos saw that, and these other prophets saw that. This is exactly what's going to happen. And perish, and become a hiss, and a byword, and be hated among all nations. And that likewise took place. Nevertheless, when that day cometh, saith the prophet, that they no more turn aside their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, then will he remember the covenants which he made to their fathers. The Lord will remember that. The covenant he made to Abraham and Jacob came right on down through all of them in the house of Israel. These covenants I made to you, they will be remembered. They will take place. Yea, then will he remember the isles of the sea. Yea, and all the people who are at the house of Israel will I gather in. You know, really, we're a fortunate people in one respect. Surely it can't be far distance to many of these things will start being fulfilled. Already some are being fulfilled, as I'll touch upon a bit later. Will I gather in, saith the Lord, according to the words of the prophet Zenos, from the four quarters of the earth will they be gathered. So they're really scattered on the face of this earth. Yea, and all the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord, saith the prophet. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall be blessed. And that's what I was bringing out here. Every nation, it says here, kindred, tongue, and people shall be blessed because of this marvelous happening that was prophesied concerning the children of Israel. I'd like to turn to 2 Nephi 7, and a lot of my references now are going to be from the Book of Mormon. because I feel it's for a wise purpose. It centers a lot on what happened to these people. And this is found on page 113, and it's found in verses 5 through 11. And this is Jacob speaking here. Wherefore, as I said unto you, it must needs be expedient that Christ, for in the last night the angel spake unto me that this should be his name, should come among the Jews, among those who are the more wicked part of the world. That's where he came. This is what the scripture says here. And they shall crucify him, for thus it behooveth our God. Now this is just like it had already taken place. But it hadn't yet. But then it's a prophetical statement, really. This is what's going to be. But it's just like it had happened. He makes it so plain to our understanding. That's why I like the way he writes here. For there is none other nation on earth that would crucify their God. None. That's what the scripture says here. For should the mighty miracles be wrought among other nations, which were done in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ walked the face and breadth of the earth there, it says here, if those mighty miracles had been done in any other nation, they would repent, but not the ones that lived at Jerusalem. And they would know that he be their God. They would have known that if they would have seen these mighty miracles. But it was foreordained that Jesus Christ should be born there. And he'd be crucified there in that area as well. For should the mighty miracles he wrought among other nations, they would repent and know that he be their God. But because of priestcrafts and iniquities, they at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him that he be crucified. And because of their priestcrafts and their iniquities, this was done. And we know that Jesus Christ preached time and time again that your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others of that day. Those were the religious people of that day. It must exceed that. Because they were the ones who loved to pray, standing on the street corners to be seen of men. They liked to fast to show that they were hungry so they could be seen of men. They loved the uppermost seats at the feast so they could be seen of men. But this isn't the way Jesus Christ, a humble man, functioned. He was meek and lowly in heart. And he intends that we likewise should be that. And he intended that those people should be that. Wherefore, because of their iniquities, destructions, famines, pestilence, and bloodshed shall come upon them. And they who shall not be destroyed shall be scattered among all nations. And that did happen. A prophecy again of what will take place. I'd like to turn back to 1 Nephi 7. And this is found on page 73. And I'd like to pick up with verse 12 and reread it and go down through verse 16. Concerning the house of Israel and the Jews, which are a part of them. Wherefore they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated of all men. Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord has lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them for a standard, and their children have been carried in their arms, after this it says, and their daughters have been carried upon their shoulders, behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal. So the Gentile nations helped Israel. They've helped the Indian peoples of our day. In 1948, we're all familiar with what took place there and what the Gentiles did with the return of Israel or the Jewish people. For thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. and it meaneth us in the days to come. That's also the people that are upon this continent of Lehi's seed. And also all our brethren who are of the house of Israel. Every last one of them, it means us, it says. And it meaneth that the time cometh that all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. And that's none other than the United States of America. And it was done. It was done by the power of God. That's the way they was delivered out of the hands of the mother Gentiles and all other nations, because a people, our forefathers, humbled themselves before God. That's why this was done. That's why we're here today. And by them shall our seed be scattered. And if we read on in this same reading in verse 17, and after our seed is scattered, the Lord will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles. And that marvelous work is none other than the book from which I'm reading, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, which shall be of great worth unto our seed, the Indian peoples here. It shall be of great worth unto them. Wherefore it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles. You see how plain he's putting this here for us? And being carried in their arms and upon their shoulders. And listen to this. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, the people who live upon this nation. And like I had cause to bring out maybe last night or in conversation, we know that there's Israel on this land. But we also know that time and time again that the ones who came here were referred to as Gentiles, whether they be of Ephraim, which I had no doubt that many were. But again, they were referred to as Gentiles, and the Gentiles came here. They're the ones who humbled themselves. And time again, it refers to the people living here as Gentiles. So this is the reason I refer to it that way. And I'm not trying to discount that there isn't Israel here beside those of the Indian peoples. But whatever, the important thing is, whoever people, wherever they are, who serve God and keep His commandments can become a part of the covenant. I want to read verse 20 before I leave this reading. And not only unto the Gentiles will this book be important, not only to them, but unto all of the house of Israel. It has not become important unto all of the house of Israel. One day it will be important unto the Jewish people. And we can read in this same record that he will command the Jews and they shall write it. We got a Bible. He commanded the Nephites and they shall write it. And we got a Book of Mormon. He shall command the tribes of the lost tribes of Israel and they shall write it. And we'll have that record. And one day these three records will be gathered in one. We don't have the other record yet, but one day it will come. And not only unto the Gentiles will this book be important, but unto all of the house of Israel, unto known of the covenants of the Father of Heaven unto Abraham. And I believe if anything is plainer than what we find in the Bible, and I won't take away from the Bible because it's a marvelous book, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Through Abraham's seed, everybody can be blessed. True obedience. That is the key. I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi, the 13th chapter. It's found on page 679. This is verses 54 through 56. And now behold, I say unto you, that when the Lord shall see fit in his wisdom, that these sayings, the Book of Mormon, that's what I'm talking about now, shall come unto the Gentiles according to his word, then ye may know that the covenant which the Father hath made with the children of Israel concerning their restoration to the lands of their inheritance is already beginning to be fulfilled. Did you hear that? It's already beginning to be fulfilled. That's exactly what this says. And ye may know that the words of the Lord which have been spoken by the holy prophets shall all be fulfilled. Every last one of them will be fulfilled. And ye need not say that the covenant which he hath made unto his people of the house of Israel. As we grow older, and a lot of times I find the young have the same affliction, their memory kind of lapses. The Lord is sharp. He knows exactly. He's never lessens. We can be thankful for that. We'd be in trouble if his got kind of fuzzy. I'd like to read on this same page, 61 and 62 verses. Yea, ye need not any longer hiss, nor spurn, nor make game of the Jews. And that's been done in a civilization in our lifetime. That has been done. We have all witnessed what has happened to the Jewish people. It is a shame what has been done. It says, ye need not any longer hiss, nor spurn, nor make game of the Jews, nor any of the remnant of the house of Israel. You better be careful what you're saying about people. For behold, the Lord remembereth his covenant unto them. That's where it is. And those who are not a part of Israel can come into the covenant through obedience, but not by making game of the Jews. And he will do unto them according to that which he has sworn. He will do it. Therefore, ye need not suppose that ye can turn the right hand of the Lord unto the left. And that we can be thankful for, that he may not execute judgment under the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And he will do that. Every detail he will do. I'd like to turn to 2 Nephi 11, and that's found on page 141. Now, you might think you're getting a lot of scriptures. And as I prepared these, I didn't know any other way than to use a lot of scripture. I thought this would be more effective than any other manner I might present it. And incidentally, I did leave out a lot that I had referenced. And you know, in preparation of these sermons, I agreed to do it last August for Brother Isaac. And I says, I got a little book. I've got all the things concerning the scattering of Israel and the gathering of Israel. And this is kind of a funny story now, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, I had this little book I've had since 1948. It's a reference book that I prize. And in all of our moving, I went to looking for that in Houston, Missouri, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Nowhere in that house, nowhere. So I had to go and get all of this from scratch again. And, you know, I attended the Colorado reunion, and I went back to get some more of our articles that we had left there, and I'd carefully packed the boots I'm wearing in a box, you know, and I took them back to Missouri, and I only wore slippers all summer, see. And this fall, I went back to on a trip, and on a Sunday in October, I went to my shoebox to get out these shoes, and at the bottom of that shoebox was this reference book. I'd carefully put them there so I wouldn't lose them in all of my packing. I didn't need the boots. There's all the time in my closet there. So simple, but it was in a box. And it was marked shoes. So who had ever looked there? But I didn't lose it. Now it's back in the brief bag where it belongs. But incidentally, I left my brief bag there so I could carry more, so I didn't have everything. So anyway, I have that book, but I had already went through and looked up a lot of these references. So it shows I can do it again, but I was really found it very difficult to put together what I found easily a few years ago to do. And so maybe I learned a lesson, but who knows?
It's hard to say. Well, anyway, I want to read this one from 2 Nephi 11, 25 through 28. Wherefore, and I think this is one of the most important ones. That's why I say I couldn't find any place to weed out a lot of these. And that's why I'm giving you so much scripture. And this is a beautiful one. Wherefore, the Jews shall be scattered among all nations. Yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. That's going to happen to Babylon after they destroy the Jews. Wherefore, the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. There's just no end to what's happened to those poor people. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God has scourged them by other nations, right down to our day, for the space of many generations it's been done to these people. Yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement, which is infinite for all mankind. There is the key in that verse right there. They're going back to Christ. They've got to be persuaded to believe in Christ, that He is the one. And in the atonement, which is infinite. And you can find over in the book of Moroni, it speaks about hope. And it is important that we have hope. We have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of His resurrection to be raised to life eternal. And that's one of the great hopes we have. That same hope is for these Jewish people. That's what he's speaking about. An infinite atonement. And when that day shall come that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in His name with pure hearts and clean hands, see the way it's outlined? And look not forward any more for another Messiah. And they've already been looking for a Messiah for years. After all, the first one didn't come in a palace. Here, the greatest man ever walked the face of the earth. Look where he's born, in a stable. It's all right. He was the humblest man and the greatest man. He's the one that he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When we take the yoke of Christ upon us, it shows we're willing to walk as he walked. When we do that, we'll find we're really making progress. Then at that time, the day will come that it must needs be expedient that they should believe these things. What's these things? Right here, the book I'm reading from, the Bible as well. And the Lord will set His hand again the second time to restore His people from their lost and fallen state. So really, when you analyze this, we're living in a great day. 2 Nephi 7 on page 113. And I believe this in here happens to be the writings of Jacob. I'll see when I get there. Yes, they are. Jacob speaking. And I'd like to read 12 through 16 here. But behold, thus saith the Lord God, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands of their inheritance. Now, what has already took place concerning Jerusalem surely is not this yet, because they have not been persuaded to believe in Jesus Christ. Some Jewish people do believe in Him, but as a religion, they do not. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersion from the isles of the sea and from the four parts of the earth. And the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for He has spoken it, and who can dispute? Now you might wonder why I don't read on in some of these readings. But tomorrow night, you'll hear the end of the story, see? So I don't want to use it all in one night.
I'd like to turn back to 3 Nephi 9 on page 659. And this takes in a little longer reading, verse 63, and it'll involve a little more reading. And Jesus Christ talking to the people upon this continent, and this is after he appeared to them here. In the ending of the 34th year, he visited the more righteous people here. He gave them his commandments to follow. And in 2 years, these people who lived here were all converted unto the Lord upon the face of the land. And we really can't even understand that. It seems like when we get a few converts, we feel pretty good. But can you just imagine everybody on the whole face of the land? Well, I can't, but it would be nice. And behold, ye are the children of the prophets, he told them. And ye are the house of Israel, Jesus Christ told these people who lived here. And ye are of the covenant which the Father made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. All of them. In thy seed. It goes right back to the Gentile peoples and all. What a beautiful thing this is. The Father, having raised me up first unto you, raised me up unto you first, and sent me to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities, and this because ye are the children of the covenant. And after that ye are blessed, then fulfill the Father the covenant which he made with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And listen to this, unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all under the scattering of my people, O house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. And that was really done. Let's just read over here. I can turn to that. I don't have it referenced, but it's in on page 646 and verse 30. And blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me and in of the Holy Ghost, which witness unto them of me and of the Father. And right here it says, because some of those blessings, that was one of the blessings that the Gentiles would receive through this that was promised to Abraham. That's what it said here. All the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed under the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me, unto the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, because of all this. We're more involved than you thought. Nevertheless, well, I might have skipped some of that, shall make them mighty above all, the Gentiles, unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. And that happened. I don't think it's one of our credible things, but it happened according to prophecy. What happened to the Indian peoples in the early years of our nation. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, that's the Gentile people now, then if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their own heads, saith the Father. Now let's just turn back to that seventh chapter that I was just reading there and see that fulfillment. On page 646, verse 34. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. And then it goes on to say, if they do all these things here that are wrong, these whoredoms, murders, deceits, secret abominations, all these, in verse 35 it says, if they shall do all these things and shall reject me, the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. But the Gentiles who repent, still in that same chapter, if I'd read on, can be numbered among the house of Israel. Verse 67 on 660. And I will remember the covenant which I've made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, and it will be done. And I've outlined the conditions that they'll be gathered upon. that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And it cometh to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, and it will be done with power. And they shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. They'll do that. Then, and look how these scriptures tie together, then shall their watchmen lift up their voices, and with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Not now, but that's what will happen in the people, see eye to eye. Then will the Father gather them together again, and give unto them Jerusalem for the land of their inheritance. And we know the people here have this land for their inheritance. Then shall they break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Father hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. So a lot of these prophecies we read about in Isaiah and other places, they're tying in here when exactly they will take place in plainness to our understanding. The Father hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Father and I are one. They function as a unit, God and Christ. And then shall be brought to pass that which was written, awake, awake again, and put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And one more verse. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And he says, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall not be redeemed with money. They will be redeemed because they have been persuaded to believe in Jesus Christ and come in as a part of the atonement.
Thank you, Brother Yee. I hope you've all enjoyed this as much as I have and had an opportunity to take down some of those scriptural references and bring them home with you and be able to study those things and ponder them in our thoughts and our heart. And I hope that each of us can make it back here tomorrow evening for the final night of the series, where our Brother Ely will be talking about the gathering of Israel, a day that I know that we all hope and look forward to with anticipation. So you might remember him in your prayers this evening, in your thoughts tomorrow, that he might be able to present those things to us, and that we might be able to glean from them the promises of God and the hope that we have, that we might look forward to that day with anticipation and joy.